Blog Talk Radio.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. But I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. Then I go to my brother. Say, brother, help me, please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Oh, there have been times that I thought I could last for long. I'm able to carry on. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it
will. Good evening. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother David, and I'd like to welcome you to the Spirit of a Soldier, where we come to share the knowledge and wisdom of God's Word. Yes, the late, great Sam Cooke said it best. You know, sometimes it seems like we ain't going to be able to make it. But if we just hang on, if we just hang on, if we just hang on, a change is going to come. See, there's a line in there that it says that he said, I look up to the sky and say, I don't know what's going to happen there. But at the end of the day, we know what's beyond the sky. It's our Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just glorify and magnify your name. We just praise you, Father God, for your blessings. We thank you, Father God, that this is the day you have made, and we can rejoice and be glad in it, Father God. We do know what's beyond the sky. It's you, Father God. It's Jesus, and it's the Holy Spirit. And we just praise, Father God, praise you every day that we awaken, Father God, to know this, Father God, to know you, Father God, every day to get to know you, walk with you, talk with you, grow in you, fall in love with you over and over and over again, because your grace is sufficient. Father God, yes, we know what's beyond the sky. We thank you, Father God, that you continue to show us every day that we can, if we walk in you and we spend time with you, Father God, you would give us the guidance and direction, Father God, to move forward in you and be victorious in everything we set our hands to do. It would prosper, Father God, the prosperity that you give, because you give abundant life. Father God, as I speak, I ask you that I decrease, David decrease, and that the Holy Spirit will rise up, Father God, big in me, Father God, to bring your word forward, Father God, and to impart upon the people under the sound of my voice, Father God, your knowledge, your wisdom, and the understanding of clarity, Father God, that they can make the right decisions to move in you, Father God, so they may too be able to reap the benefits that, Father God, that you give, Father, the healing power when Jesus took upon his body, Father God, those 39 stripes, Father God, on his back, healing was there for us. Father God, when he went into the heavens, Father God, he opened the windows of heaven and blessed us, Father God, with blessings we wouldn't have room enough to contain it. Thank you, Father God. Then he ensured that we would not be comfortless. He sent the Holy Spirit, for which he used throughout his journey, Father God, that we may have him to guide us, direct us, and illuminate your scriptures. Hallelujah, Father God. Oh, only you, Father God, can provide such resources. As long as we seek you first, your kingdom, and all his righteousness, all the things that we ever need, Father God, we know will be added. Because why? Because you can never fail. You are God that can't lie. So we know, Father God, you will bring upon us blessings upon blessings. Father God, I thank you. I thank you, Father God, that you give me the opportunity to share your word so that those, Father God, that may be lost, who may be struggling, who may be suffering from various illnesses, Father God, struggling with depression, anxiety, with the change of the times, Father God, we know the best change that can happen is the change that you bring, Father God. The change that you bring, and you only bring good, Father God. We just have to trust in you, walk in you, have faith in you. Father God, increase their faith, increase their belief in you, Father God. Bless their families in every way, shape, form, or fashion. Open up new doors of opportunity, Father God. Help them, Father God, to see their way in the darkness, Father God, for you are the light. And if they recognize the light, they'll know that you're the life and the truth and the way, Father God, a way to follow, Father. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. I am excited. I was just listening to my favorite song by the Winans called The Golden Opportunity. Every time I hear that song, I get excited because he says, see me in glory with my new robe on. Stop by the crystal river to make my weak bones strong and drink from a fountain that shall never run dry. For God is going to wipe every tear from my eye. And he says, I'm going to make it. He made up in his mind, he's going to make it. And that's what we got to do. Make up in our mind. Don't be double-minded. Make up in our mind that we going to make it. Hallelujah. Well, today's quote is, potential is a priceless treasure like gold. All of us have gold hidden within, but we have to dig in to get it out. Joyce Meyer. Continuous effort, not strength or intelligence, is the key to unlock our potential. Winston Churchill. There is no paycheck that can equal the feeling of contentment that comes from being the person you are meant to be. Oprah Winfrey. And the scripture tells us in 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession, that you may proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. And Genesis 12:2 says, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. We can be a blessing unto others. And in 1 John 3:1, so see what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that they did not know him. And in Matthew 23:11, it says, greatest among you, you shall be your servant. Hallelujah. So let's look at a few people. Despite the challenges in life, they didn't settle for mediocrity, but moved towards having an abundant life that God intended for them to have, through the blessing that only our Heavenly Father can give. Hallelujah. The first person I want to talk about is Martha Mason. You know, those who on occasions you feel like you can't do your best, you don't want to be bothered with studying and homework and going to work and all these things. Well, this young lady, her story is like this. She gave us a reason not to want to skip school, not to not miss work, not to go out there and do our best, unless there was something really major. See, Martha Mason was a polio victim that lived the majority of her life in the iron lung, an immobile 800-pound tube. But that did not stop her from graduating from high school as valedictorian and earning two college degrees at the top of her class. A custom-built intercom allowed her to connect to her school and to hear her lecture. And on top of that, Martha was able to write a book, her memoir, and maintain a strong connection to her church and community. As McFadden Whitehead said, ain't no stopping us now. Then J.K. Rowling, life is a true example of rags-to-riches story. This author of the beloved Harry Potter series had a pretty tough life before her first book was published. Her first marriage ended in divorce after 13 months, and she was left to take her baby girl on her own. She also struggled with clinical depression, which is a really major depression, and was on welfare for a time. But later, J.K. Rowling would go on to say her famous commencement speech that this was rock bottom for her. She was at the bottom of her life, but it also was the foundation to rebuild her life. She eventually decided to write a book for which she had an idea while on a train to London about a boy wizard. Once it was complete, she had another challenge, getting it published. She was rejected more than 10 publishing companies, but eventually Bloomberg decided to give her a chance. Today, J.K. Rowling is known as the first billionaire author and an inspiration to millions of people. And then next, she needs no introduction, but I'm going to do it anyway, Oprah Winfrey, the queen of talk shows. She and J.K. Rowling actually had a lot in common. For example, they both beat the odds by being raised from poverty to becoming female billionaires. Just so you know, less than 20% of the billionaires are females. Oprah had a very tough childhood as her single mother worked long hours as a housemaid and left the young girl at home where two male relatives and visitors abused her. Things were so bad that Oprah tried to run away at the age of 14. She was on her own. She became pregnant, had a miscarriage, and went to live with her father. Things finally turned around for her, and she excelled in school and eventually got a job as a reporter. We all know what happened since then. Oprah went on to become the richest African American and one of the richest people in the 20th. Her legendary talk show, magazine, and TV network. And then there's Alicia Rivera, was just a teenager when she was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and told that she had a 7% chance of survival. Her uncle previously succumbed to this disease. Though Alicia was scared, she underwent long, painful surgery to remove her pancreas, part of her small intestine, her gallbladder, and a bile duct. Her mother said she was a fighter, and it was clear why. Today, Alicia is cancer-free, and she's a spokesperson and a public awareness campaign ambassador for Lisgar Foundation, an organization that supports cancer research. And if that wasn't enough, she also pursuing a nursing degree and wants to someday get her PhD and give back what she had lost. How amazing inspiration these stories are of people who have stepped out despite the odds. For you see, God wants to see us go through our full potential. He wants us to reach that. He wants us to go forward and magnify his power and his glory by reaching our potential. For what God has for you, nothing can stand against you. Hallelujah. So we're going to kind of pick back up on the show, seeing the greatness in you through humility. See, potential is characterized by an individual or someone's capability to create and accomplish or succeed. You see, numerous individuals in our world today move through their life journey, never reaching or finding who they really can become and living in these quiet desperations of life. Therefore, finding themselves in a position of acceptance, disappointment, letdown, and an unfulfilled, unexceptional life. That's not God's plan. See, Jeremiah 29:11 states, "For I know the plan that I have for you, declared the Lord, plan for you to prosper, not to harm you, plan to give you hope and a future, to give you hope and a future." Now, you see, that's not from David. That's straight from God's word. He planned to give you a hope and a future. See, a future is also like potential. See, the potential that something would happen. Well, God is saying that the future that we would be able to hold is about a future that prospers us, that moves us forward, that harm wouldn't come to us. Hallelujah. For you see, God wants us to stir up our gifts and talents, as Paul told Timothy, in order that he could fulfill his God predestined destination, if you will. And God wants us to do the same in our lives. You see, attending greatness, God not only demonstrated that he desired for us to accomplish greatness, especially since God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit decided to create us in their image and likeness. You see, because we know as the Trinity of God, there is nothing less than greatness in them. When you think about greatness and you think about you created not by your mom and dad, as you will, and there's nothing wrong with that. Obviously, they're the canal for us to get here. But the greatness comes from the true creator, which is God. And God decided out of all the creatures that he had created during those 6 days, he decided that he would make us in his likeness and image. Now, if that doesn't give you a goosebumps and that feeling of accomplishment just for the sake, before you even got started, God had already potentially made you in greatness. Now we just had to exercise what he had given us. And then the scriptures tells us in John 14, 12 to 14, verily I tell you, whoever believes in me and will do the work I have been doing, and they will do even greater than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in my name, and I will do it. Hallelujah. However, we discover that being great and doing great things comes with some level of humility. We know that the question was asked to Jesus, who is greatest among them in the kingdom? And Jesus replied. Out of Luke 9:48, he said, whoever welcomed this little child in my name welcomes me. Whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. For it is the one who is the least among you all is the greatest. So we can see that even Jesus, who could have had been pride-minded, egotistical, might even had could have pointed to himself. And why not? He was God manifested in the flesh. Yet he chose to display through a child's nature that the humility for which he would be the example. Why? Because Jesus viewed the child as a representation and a reflection of himself, as well as Jesus being a reflection of the Heavenly Father. Therefore, Jesus indirectly pointed to himself as the greatest in the kingdom. Yet again, humble himself like an of a child to the Heavenly Father through obedience. This is the key word. You know, we talk about sacrifice and obedience, but the greatest is obedience. Like a child, he obeyed his father. He was not concerned about self-importance, self-indulgence, self-gratification, exalting himself. He was about being obedient like a child to his father. But you see, remember Jesus stated, whoever receives a child in my name receives me. This shows us how we should think and regard Jesus in the form of what humility is about. And I know we don't take humility very well, because we think of it as being weak. We think of it as being compromised. We think of it as being less than, or we're not going to allow anyone or nothing to take advantage of us or to treat us less than. But Jesus understood he had nothing to validate, because his worth was from God, not from man. And this is what we have to recognize, that our worth is from God, not from man. See, every man was created from God, good, bad, or indifferent in their behaviors. Either way, they were created from God. So if you're going to take the value of something, you're going to take the worth of something, you should take the value and the worth of what God is asking us to do, because he is the creator. He is the all-knowing. He is the one that provides everything. He is the one that takes care of us. So now, we can look back at the examples from the previous show of children who became exceptional men. It was Joseph, it was David, it was Isaac, and it was Jesus himself. Each of them had the potential like dynamite. Wasn't lit right away because they were just children, but with the right characteristic traits, they moved towards their destiny in order to become what God intended for them to be, despite the many obstacles that they would face on their journey. And this is a journey. This is a journey. This is not a sprint. It is a marathon that requires for us to hang in there, to fight the good fight of faith. For the word tells us that the race is not given to the swift or the strong, but him that endure to the end. Sometimes it's hard to endure, but as Sam Cooke said in his song, a change is going to come. The positive change that you look for, the faith-filled change that you look for, the desire and the hope that you look for, because you know that God's word told you that he gives you hope for the future, that change is going to come. We just have to hold on. And in my acronym for changes, initially it starts off with conflict. See, you're in conflict because you got your flesh against the spirit. So you're in conflict. And in that battle for the H, is there hurt that comes along? Because you're not happy about that. It may even move you to the A of anger. But then you begin to network. You study God's word. You listen to the pastor. You talk to your peers. You talk to the members in church. And iron starts to sharpen iron. And then the G represents the growth. Hallelujah. And then all of a sudden that E changes your expectation. So once when you were negative, once you didn't believe, once you didn't have the faith, now you move in faith. Now you move in the strong belief. Now you are power and charged with the Holy Spirit to see the change, the manifestation that God intended for you to have, which was that prosperity for the future. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let's look how we can reach our potential to become the greatest in the kingdom in order that we can fulfill God's plan for our lives and to help us reach others to reach their greatness in Jesus Christ. You see, in 2 Peter 1:3-11, it says, confirming one's calling and election. It says, his divine power has given us everything we need for the gut for a godly life through our knowledge of him who calls us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promise, so that through them you may participate in a divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. It's not our fault that we sin because we were born in sin. But once we become aware, we make a decision, then it's up to us to be accountable and responsible to try to turn away from it, to do what we can to move forward. But in our own nature, we can't do it. But in divine nature, the Holy Spirit, he strengthened us. Well, we can use the scripture that tells us, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened us. Therefore, we can use that power because the word is power, that dunamis power that allows us to be more resistant. And when we resist the devil, he should flee from us. So then it says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to your goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. Let me go back over that one more time. Now, slow it down. Sometimes I think I'm from New York because I talk kind of fast, but I'm going to try to slow it down. He says, add to your faith goodness, and to your goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control. Now, let me stop right here for a minute, as my commander said. Let's put a pin in it. Self-control. Now, he didn't say Holy Spirit control. He didn't say God control. He didn't say Jesus control. He said self-control. We have to make a quality decision to develop in self-control. Now, I say develop because it's not an easy task. If it was that easy, Jesus didn't need to die. But you see, he gives us the tools and the resources. When we read this word is shared with us what Jesus imparted on the disciples and the disciples imparted on others, and it carried through the course of time to prepare us to be able to have self-control. But we have to, how can we do this? We have to make sure that we operate out of these elements, if you will, or these attributes. But we have to do it, as you notice, he said, add to your faith. You have to add to your faith. Now, I say faith is full assurance in the heaven. We have to trust God that he will increase our faith, increase our belief, and then we have to execute. And then he goes on to say, when you get this self-control, perseverance. You have to persevere. You have to stick and stay. You got to fight the good fight of faith. And as you move forward, you develop in your godliness, the change is going to come. And as you move in the godliness, you get this mutual affection for your brothers. So you help your brothers. How do you help your brother? Yes, you're your brother's keeper. So how do you help your brother? Through love. And you know I love talking about love. And what does love tell us? Love is patient. We have to be patient with one another as we're moving through this this development, this journey, trying to get that self-control. So we have to be patient with one another. Sometimes you'll get it. Sometimes they'll get it. Sometimes neither one of you get it. Got to reach out for somebody else, another brother, another sister, to help you get that self-control. This is something that is required. So he said, then you got to be kind with each other. We can't be jealous or boastful. We can't be pride-minded. We cannot even be self-seeking. See, Jesus was not self-seeking. Jesus was selfless. See, he is our model. So we have to be selfless. We can't keep no record alone, wrong. Thank God, God don't keep record alone, wrong for us, because oh, we'd be in trouble. Hallelujah. And then we got to be slow to anger. See, all this helps us to evolve, to grow, because again, as we started with this, our calling and our election, and we can't move into these arenas unless we got the foundation of love. And then he tells us that, see, love keeps no record of wrong, but also it is always preserving, always protecting, always hoping, and always trusting in God. Always having your hope in God, because God will preserve us. And as he said earlier, he gives us hope. And in this way, we don't celebrate wrong anymore. We celebrate truth. And as I said, God is the way, the truth, and the life, the abundant life. So again, we move forward. So he says, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, so this is, again, increasing. This is a developmental process. This is over time. So we got to be gentle with ourselves. We got to be gentle with others. They will keep you from being ineffective, hallelujah, and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm saying it again. It'll keep you from being ineffective, meaning now it'll stop you from not reaching your potential. See, now when you become effective, you can reach your full potential. It'll stop you from being unproductive. Don't nobody like having anything that ain't producing nothing. When you're working on a job, you see somebody sitting on, if you work in a factory and he's sitting down while you're working, he's unproductive. But see, you don't want that. You want to be productive. You want to make sure that you do your part. You got to back to self-control. You got to do your part. See, too many times we're looking for somebody else to do it. Somebody else to do it. Well, if the pastor did this, if Trump did this, or my mother did this, or my father did this, or they did this to me, or they did that to me. Isn't that what happened to you? It's how you interpret what happens to you. You can be non-productive. Jesus could have said, "Woo, they hooked me with the 39 stripes on my back. I can't do it, God. I ain't going to be able to do it. I can't go down there and get the keys to hell. I can't do it now." But he didn't let that happen because he came here to be productive. He refused to be ineffective. So he took self-control. He took self-control. This is what we have to do. For he says, but whosoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Did you know being unproductive is a part of laziness, and laziness is a part of sin? Part of it. It's a sin because God didn't send us here to be lazy, to be complacent, to sit on our lawns. He even say you should even eat. A man should eat if he don't work. And that ain't just a physical in the sense of a male. That's also a female, a teenager, a girl, a boy, however you want to use to describe it, whatever adjective you like. At the end of the day, for your nouns and pronouns and all you English majors, at the end of the day, any human being that don't work should eat, meaning they non-productive. Even the word tells us when you plant a seed, if it falls on the cement or on the ground, it can't take root. That means it's non-productive. So we got to be productive, you see. Then it says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and your election. If you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the kingdom, eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, a rich welcome. See, again, God ain't short on richness. God is not short on richness. Everything he do, even when he created us in a richness because that richness came from him, his likeness and his image. Here's where God allows us to share his divine nature by his spirit, and that will empower us with his own goodness. And since every good and perfect gift come from above, we can move to our fullest potential through God's great and precious promises. God's great and precious promises. Again, this word great, this magnifier of average, this is larger than just good. It's great, our greatness. Why? Because God always fulfills his promises. The scriptures even confirm this in James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly light, who does not change like shifting shadows. God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So these things we might want to consider. Hallelujah. Acknowledge God and his divine nature. Because within ourselves, we don't have the resources to truly be godly, which will keep us from sin in order to live a godly life. Therefore, this is one of the reasons why we are striving to reach our potential for God, for the glory of God. As I mentioned, Jesus didn't come here to the world just for himself. He came to save us, that one day we would go to our true home, those mansions or rooms, if you will. But he came here and fulfilled his destiny. He fulfilled his potential in order that we could fulfill ours. Hallelujah. Again, our motive should always be to reach our full potential and to share the good news, the gospel of God, in order that none should perish. Why I know that? Because 2 Peter says 3:9, the Lord is not slow. Uh-oh, here we go. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, keeping his promises, keeping his promises. As some of us as we understand slowness, instead, he is patient, back to love, with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Now, you see, we have to repent, but even God knows that when we miss it, he said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In our nature, we can't do it. He said, the heart is evil. But that's why we ask to have, listen, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit in me. See, once we get that clean heart, once we get saved, then we can continue to move the body and the soul into line up with the spirit in order that we can move in the direction that God wants us to do, which is basically moving to our full potential. Hallelujah. Now, when you consider Jesus didn't appear to reach his full potential, if you compare it to the worldly views of our outer appearance, he was poor. He didn't have a mansion on earth. He didn't have fine clothes. He didn't have a wife. He didn't have status, power, or authority by the worldly standard. And he was traded for a murderer and a thief. So he didn't even have influence. Yet he still reached his full potential because he was willing to follow the will of God. Now, that's from a worldly perspective that he appeared to be, if you will, not without. He didn't have much. One would say he reached full potential, might think about some of the people succeeded, like J.K. Rowling and Oprah Winfrey. But that was not Jesus' mission. See, in Luke 22:42, it says, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Oh, Jesus knew what he was giving the bark upon. And I always like to give the description. Can you imagine just one person, the pain of most of the more seasoned people had what we used to call it back in the day, a whooping. You know, they take you to the shed and give you a whooping. And you knew what a belt felt like or a switch. Now imagine the magnification of that, that for every human being born, existing, and yet born, Jesus took all the pain on his body. Yet he said, not my will, but your will be done. See, so he was willing to sacrifice, which is his full potential here, to go to the maximum of what he was called to do. In the 3.5 years that he did his ministry, he was willing to go to the fullness, meaning finish the race, the job completed, so that we could be the recipients. And now it is up to us, as he said, we would do greater work, to go out and do the same thing, to reach our full potential. But that potential is not worldly, a worldly concept. I know sometimes when we talk about our full potential, we think of the Oprahs, we think of the Michael Jordans, we think of the Bill Gates. Oh, they reached their full potential, but without Jesus. Oh, it just said the word tells us. Nothing's going to count unless it's all about Christ. What you've done for Christ is only what's going to matter. Hallelujah. So Jesus again showed us who is the greatest among others by not only humbling himself to be like a child and obey his father, but also he will show that you can reach your potential and your full assignment, which we all have one to complete. For Philippians 4:6 say, be confident in this, that he began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. So therefore, it is important, it is imperative that we strive each day that we're giving God's breath in his strength, because he's given it to us. Anytime we can look in the mirror and we see ourselves, he's given us that opportunity, that hope for the future, to reach our full potential. To reach our full potential. Now, it's up to us through self-control that we move in this. So therefore, we must add these seven powerful characteristic qualities to our nature through faith. And he said it, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and make every effort to confirm our election, which is our profession, our assignment, our mission. As soldiers, we always mission-driven. See, we got to be soldiers for the Lord. That's why I call it the spirit of a soldier, because when I left man's army, I wanted to make sure I kept the battle going and I stayed in the battle. So I wanted to make sure that now I will go out and be in God's army. And it's a little more tougher than man's army, because I used to look at the military just protocol. If I follow protocol, I should be all right. And the only thing that would be unpredictable is when the enemy came, not always I knew what was going to happen. But see, God does a little different. He gives us the tools. He gives us the resources. He gives us the ability. He gives us the Holy Spirit that we may go forward and fight the good fight of faith. But here's the deal. The battle's already won. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so in that election, as he talked about, we have to make sure that we choose with determination our destination. We need to make sure that we go forward and make a quality decision to serve God. I see a sign that says, me and my house, we serve the Lord. That's what we have to do. Now, that's not going to make you a perfect being. And my beautiful leaders and friends told me yesterday, if I'm waiting to be perfect, then I probably ain't going to do much. I'm probably not going to go forward. But in God, I can be perfect. I can be mature in Christ. See, perfection is only in the Webster Dictionary. But in this life, we have to look to the one who is perfect, and that's God. So as we move forward, we said that we have to continue to increase in measure. Every day we have to keep adding to our knowledge, adding to our wisdom, adding to our understanding. He tells us, in all things get understanding. So we have to keep adding. How do you keep adding? You keep studying the word. You keep meditating on the word. You keep seeking the word. You incline thy ears to the word. You keep the word in front of thy eyes, and you store it knee-deep in the midst of your heart. Because he tells it's life unto us and medicine unto our body. So sometimes we run out here, we look for the doctor, the cure, but the doctor can't cure nobody. He can only deal with the symptoms. Like medication, it only deals with the symptoms. It don't heal nothing. God is healing, but he works through that resource in order to heal us. But God is the healer. As many countries I've been to, they don't have all these resources. So therefore, they have to trust in God, whether they realize it or not. And then he tells us to love God, our neighbors, and ourselves. Luke 10:27 says, so he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your strength, with all your strength, and with all your mind, because you know Satan is coming at the mind because it's the battlefield. But you got to love God with all that you got, and love your neighbor as yourself. You know, sometimes people guilt you for loving yourself. They'll tell you you're egotistical, you're narcissistic, you're pride-minded, but God is telling us to love ourselves, not in the prideful way, because I gave you, in 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, the foundation of what love is about. And it should be our baseline. You know that you ain't loving your neighbor if you're jealous of your neighbor. You know you ain't loving your neighbor if you're doing your neighbor wrong. You know you ain't loving your neighbor if you keep a record of wrong. You know you ain't loving your neighbor when you don't have patience with them. And your neighbor could be your mother, your brother, your sister, your aunt, the next door neighbor for real, your cousin, the grocery man, and even Donald Trump. That's your neighbor. So you know that you have to be able to love your neighbor as yourself. And that's the easy way to do it. And then you walk, as I just mentioned, in the godly love. And each day we should attempt to develop emotionally, psychologically, and physically in order to move towards the spiritual maturity that Christ wants us to move in. And I'm going to step back again. I've been saying that it's important more than anything that we develop even more so emotionally. See, because the emotions govern most of our actions. The prisons are filled, the graveyards are filled with people who didn't have emotional maturity. Relationships fall apart because people don't have emotional maturity. I don't care what the relationship title is, husband and wife, parents, job. It's basically centered on emotion because psychologically or rationally, we know that a lot of the times when we're arguing with someone, if we go back to love, it's slow to anger. But we don't be slow to anger. We be quick to anger. We be quick to speak and very slow to listen. So therefore, we cannot be emotionally stable because if we were, we'd be slow to speak, slow to anger, quick to listen, very patient, very kind, and you work through the problem. As I used to tell my soldiers, you got a problem, bring me a solution. Now, I don't necessarily mean I'm going to agree with it, but if you bring me a solution, I bring a solution, and if we have the meeting of the minds, we can come up with a solution that we both can live with. That comes from developing your emotional maturity, and that comes from developing your spiritual maturity, because the Word, we are spiritual beings. So if we move on what the Word tells us from a spiritual standpoint, we can take control, self-control. We can take that self-control psychologically and physically, because, again, the body is only going to respond to the emotion in the mind. Let me say that again. The body's only going to respond to the emotion in the mind. If you get all emotion work up, the thoughts start to roll. Next thing you know, you start to plan. And next thing you know, you go over so-and-so house. And next thing you know, you shoot them. And oh, my goodness. Then you're sitting in jail. And all of a sudden, everything spins back around. And rationally, you're sitting in that jail. Now you got 30 years. And you say to yourself, I shouldn't have done that. And you know why you've done it? Because you didn't have that emotional maturity. So we should attempt. How we get this? To move, to develop, and grow. Well, we will bear good fruit. Because Galatians 5:22-23 says, but the fruits of the Spirit is love. We're back to that love again. See, now if we're doing everything of the characteristics of love, what love is, what love not, and what love always does, we will be able to create a joyful environment. So the next one is joy. And when you got a joyful environment, 9 times 10, it's a peaceful environment. And why is that? Because we're executing patience, kindness, and goodness. And we're being faithful to that objective, which is to be gentle to one another, all that's centered around self-control. And then it tells us, against such things, there is no law. Hallelujah. And then God goes one more step further. He said, think on these things. Now, I'm talking about reaching your full potential now. See, once you start to think on these things, all the other mechanics fall into place. Most of us, I say, like the military, they say, go do this, go do that. These are all mechanics. These are policy, procedures, and processes that we can work with. It's gaining control of the internal things. So the external things don't govern you. In other words, I like to say, don't allow external factors to control your internal stability. Hallelujah. So then in Philippians 4:8, it tells us, finally, brother, whatever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. Now, if we go back to anything we have seen in life that is negative, it really ain't rocket science. You don't have to be Einstein to figure this one out. 9 times 10, if we think on those things that are honest, we ain't thinking on those things that are dishonest. If we think on those things that are just, we're not being unjust. In other words, we talk about justice, we will get justice. If we think on those things that are pure, we won't think on those things that are toxic. But if we think on those things that are lovely, we don't think on those things that are hurtful. If we think on those things of good rapport, we ain't thinking bad news. If we think on those things that are virtue, they have value, they have principle, they have standard, they become praiseworthy. And he tells us to think on these things. This is talking about reaching your full potential. Because, again, if we think on the external things, the way the world has conditioned us to think on, then we're looking at by all means necessary. Crook, hook, whatever it takes, I'm going to get it because I want it. It's all about me because I'm self-seeking. But when I move into what God is calling us to do, then we get away from those ways of thinking. That's why he tells us, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Developing and keeping these qualities will keep us from being ineffective and unproductive in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. Excuse me. Here's we must acknowledge that Christian character is a part of our growing process. Over a lifetime, it requires us to take action. See, the word tells us faith without works is dead. James said it best in 2:14-16. What does it profit, my brother, if someone says he has faith but does not have work? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one says to them, depart in peace, be warm and filled, but do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have work, is dead. It is dead. So when I bring it home, we must strive every day to reach our full potential, not to become complacent, arrogant, not to think of ourselves more than we ought to, but move towards our greatness with a childlike heart, willing to be a servant of God and his plan for our lives in order that we can share the good news of Jesus Christ. For when we humble ourselves to God and his kingdom, every good and perfect gift will be provided. For he says in Matthew 6:3, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. This is essential, people, if we're truly trying to reach our full potential. Because it ain't about us. It's about us doing the will of our Heavenly Father. Because as I love the song, The Golden Opportunity, again, if we really want to be seen in that glory with a new robe on and to stop by the crystal river to make our weak bones strong and drink from a fountain that shall never run dry, well, we know that God is wiping every tear from our eye. Truly, that's something we want to make. That's truly where we want to be. Now we're going to move to the second part. I'll be brief and be brave and be gone, as they say. The soldier's perspective. Don't let life steal your vision. Life is going to happen. And you can't get around it, can't go over it, you can't blow life out of the way. All you can do is go through it. My commander, Colonel Rapp, used to always say, you got to go through it to get through it. In other words, you can't get to the light on the other side of the tunnel until you go through the dark surrounding within the tunnel. Thus, here's a few tips to consider in addition to the Holy Spirit and God's Word. The great motivating speaker, trainer, and leading expert on leadership who has helped hundreds and thousands of people reach their fullest potential, at least from the worldly standpoint, suggests these steps. And they helped me in my 37 years within the military for me to be able to retire with honor. And he tells us that we got to take charge of our life. See, no one's in charge of your life. Once you, and I'm going to make this chronologically appropriate, once you reach the age of 18, you basically get to take charge of your life, at least from the legal standpoint. But now if we were wise and we study God's word, we can be just like Jesus when he was 13. We already in preparation. We can be just like Joseph when he was a young man. We already in preparation. We can be like David, just like he was a young man. We're already in preparation. But most of us don't get so lucky. But somewhere along the life, we got to take charge of our life. So that at the end of the day, no one will be accountable for your life but you. You can blame your mother. You can blame your father. I was listening to a tape by Tyler Perry, and he told the story of his parents, what have you, but he still took charge of his life. Oprah we heard about and J.K. Rowling, they were struggling, but they still took charge of their life. We can't continue to do like Adam and Eve and blame somebody else. You got to take charge of your life. Wherever you at right now, wherever you at right now, wherever you at right now, you got to take charge of your life. I was blessed again to be with a young man who took charge of his life. At 34 years old, this young man is a multi-businessman and handling his affairs miraculously in a way that he's meticulous, he's conscientious, he's focused, I mean laser focused, and he's making things happen. Why? Because he's taking charge of his life. What is he doing? He's going for his full potential. Why is he able to do this? Because next he tells you got to clarify your values. If your values are against your actions, you're in conflict. If you're in conflict, you're divided. And no house can stand if it's divided. So you got to line your values up with your principles and your ideals and your vision. You can never let nobody take your vision from you. I know Satan is going to send somebody to kill, steal, destroy your vision. But you can't let that happen. Why? Because you're going to take charge of your life. And then you have to take time, as you say, to analyze your belief. What's your beliefs? What do you believe in? The old saying goes, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And that's what happened with many people. They are throwing back and forth. And Zig Ziglar used to say this. He said, you're either going to be a meaningful Pacific or you're going to be a wandering generality. You're going to be like a tumbleweed, picking up anything as you go along the way. The wind could toss you to and fro. No stability. So you got to make sure that you know your values, analyze your beliefs, and you got to take charge of your life. Why? Because you're trying to create your own future. As you seek God first and his guidance, his direction, he will help you. Because remember I said earlier that he said, I have a hope for you. I have hope for a future for you, that no harm should come to you, that you could prosper. Again, not the way the world talks about prosperity, even though we can reap a little bit of those rewards. But at the end of the day, we should not be building our treasures here on earth. We should be preparing for those treasures in heaven. And then we have to take time, he says, to determine your true goals. What is it that you want? You have to determine it. And how do you determine? Decide upon your major definite purpose. Rick Warren said you got to have a purpose-driven life. Man said, if a man doesn't have a purpose, he is lost forever. You got to find your purpose. And sometimes people say, I don't know what my purpose is. Well, you know, what are you good at? What's your capability? What can you do? You may not can be Michael Jordan in the sense of becoming the great, well-known basketball player all over the world, but you may still can play basketball and teach somebody else how to play. See, there's always was a coach. There's always was a coach. You got to look inside yourself. You got to ask God, Lord, you put me here for a reason and a season. So help me so I can move forward in my fullest potential to maximize on what you called me to do. And God will answer that prayer. He'll give you guidance. See, Solomon asked for knowledge and wisdom in a dream, and God blessed him. And again, when you seek ye first the kingdom and all that's right, you notice that Solomon got everything else that he even asked for. Hallelujah. And from yours truly, I say, always self-examine. One should always examine themselves. Every day you wake up, you should spend time looking at yourself. Don't need to point the finger the other way. Point it to yourself. Look in that mirror. Examine yourself. Ask yourself some hard questions, good, bad, or indifferent. But ask the question. It's not the answer you get. It's the question you ask that will produce the answer. So you got to examine yourself every day. If you miss the mark, if you know that you want to, like me, I'm working to develop my bodybuilding body back. So I look in the mirror and I said, this is what I want to do. I tell people now every day, my baseline is about love. When I'm interacting with people, am I being kind? Am I being patient? I have to examine myself. I don't need for you to tell me if I hit you upside the head that I hit you. I know what I did, examine myself. And then others can assist you, because if you examine yourself, you can ask someone else, am I reaching the mark? Iron sharpens iron. But then always accept yourself. God did, why not you? God accepted you, why not you? Don't let no man, no woman, no person, as Les Brown said, no man living, no man yet born should be bringing you down. Because you came from someone that said, I'm creating you in my image and likeness. The one that created the person that's putting you down is no way any powerful than you. So you should be accepting yourself like God accepted you. Then he says, to love yourself. Why not? Because God did. God loved you. So why don't you love yourself? Why don't you embrace yourself? One of my professors told me to hug myself. And I'm this hardcore charging soldier. I'm like, hug myself? What are you talking about? But I went on to do it. And I have to admit, it was the first time I did it, it was an amazing thing. I hug many people, and I know that I hug them with love. I hug myself, and I felt the love. Hug yourself today. And then trust God. Follow God. Believe in God, have faith in God, and never give up on God. If you do these things, and whatever your leader, your spiritual leaders guide you to do, whatever the word guides you to do, as you read, because when I read the scripture, I may get one message, you may get another, but the Holy Spirit will guide you. He will illuminate the scriptures to you. He will clarify the scriptures to you. He will give you the potential of the scripture, and he will direct your path. Just like he did with Jesus. Jesus did nothing without the Holy Spirit. And once you move in these steps and these attributes and develop these characteristics, you will see that you're beginning or you are on the road to becoming who God intended you to be. Why? Because you're reaching your fullest potential. Hallelujah. See, remember, the work that God begun in you, he gonna see it to completion. And then you will be able to say, like Paul, I've finished my race. And then you will be able to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Again, if you don't know God, you haven't stepped to him. Again, this is from a soldier's perspective. It's the greatest thing to do. Accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. If you found yourself and you turn away from him and you're like the prodigal son, come back home because God has always got open arms. And he's going to kill the fattest calf. He's going to put on the beautiful robe. He's going to give you the ring. And he's going to be celebrating because he say, my child has come back home. This is a golden opportunity. So if you haven't accepted, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart from Romans 10:9, that Jesus Christ died upon the cross, that he was risen again, and he saved us because he loved us. So if he loved you so much that he would give up his life, he would give up his home sitting next to God on the throne just for you. If nobody else existed, he did it just for you. That's worth his weight in gold. God never, never forsake us or leave us. The only way we don't receive God is that we reject God. So don't allow yourself to miss out on the golden opportunity. Again, I'm your host, Brother David. I love the fact you give me an opportunity to share the spirit of a soldier. I hope that God will continue to open up doors for you, bless you throughout the whole week, giving you that golden opportunity to feel and experience the rewards that only God can give. And at that point, you can celebrate and realize that you are now moving into your fullest potential. Now, again, there are many, many, many wonderful deliverers of God's word on Kingdom Builders Development. Please take the opportunity if you want to email us. You can do it at kingdombuilderplaza@gmail.com. You want to contact any of the ministers there. Their office number is 313-583-9739. I'll repeat that, kingdombuilderplaza@gmail.com. Home office number is 313-583-9739. And again, sow into the ministry and give at www.giveify.com. That's spelled GIVELIFY.com. As they always say, ministry is salvation is free, but ministry costs. Make sure you make a contribution. Thank you. We look forward to talking to you next week. And again, never give up on God because he never gives up on you.
to be by his door. Y'all better be worth all the trouble, better be worth all the pain, better be